This show is brought to you by Carbonite Backup Service and GoTo Assist Express. It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 367. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. Don't forget to check out the wiki at mtswiki.com. There you will find links to all of the previous shows and also information about my studio, the equipment and software that I use. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and check out my Facebook. You can send me a friend request at facebook.com/MikeTechShow. One favor, please visit the main website and you'll see a link on the right-hand side of the page that says take our survey. Please take a moment. It's anonymous. Yes, it asks household income and lots of information, but it's for advertisers to get an idea of the listeners to the show and how much you spend on the internet per year and how much that you do online and what's your age and what sex, are you male or female? They need the demographics because that helps line up the proper sponsor for the show, and it really helps me out. So if you can hit that and take that survey info, and I promise in a few months I'll share the results with you. So it's very interesting. So you can see what the demographic breakdown is of age groups and the gender on listening to the Mike Tech Show. So that'll be cool. Thank you very much. I have a request for, which is really, you're really going to like this. And it came up in last night's show when I was recording Tech Vets with Carrie Holzman. I have a friend who I belong to a business networking group that's an attorney. His name's Josh. And he has volunteered to appear on a special Saturday show with me at the end of the month. And he will take and answer tech legal questions. So questions that you would have involving technology, computers, whether it's copyright, anything that you can think of where there's technology and computer slant to the legal question and you can get his opinion. Josh will be with me at the end of the month. So get your questions in as soon as you can so Josh can preview them. Send me your questions, any legal question that you have involving technology. And Josh is a great business attorney, and he will take a look at those questions and answer them. And then, of course, we'll have the live chat on that Saturday where you have a chance to ask some questions and interface with Josh. So that'll be really, really good and I think beneficial to everybody. He is a very good business attorney with Fox Rothschild, which is a very big law firm. Tonight, I'm going to talk about just a follow-up on my OS X Lion issues. I was able to work some things out and not others, and I have a couple emails that I'm going to respond to on that. Before we get started, Carbonite Online Backup protects your pictures and your computer files by automatically backing them up whenever you're online. When you have your inevitable disaster, Carbonite makes it easy to get your backed up files back with just a few clicks. Carbonite has helped restore over 7 billion computer files that otherwise might have been lost forever. You can have unlimited backup for your PC or Mac with anytime, anywhere access, and it's only $59 a year. That's less than $5 a month. and it's easy to get started. It only takes a couple minutes. You can start your free 15-day trial at Carbonite.com, no credit card required, and use the offer code TPN, and you'll get 2 free months if you decide to buy. That's Carbonite.com, and the offer code for 2 free months is TPN. If you heard my last show, you know that I took the plunge with OS X Lion, and I did the upgrade on my iMac, and it killed a bunch of apps, including a critical app that I use for the podcast, and it's called Soundbite. I also upgraded my MacBook Pro. In working with tech support with Black Cat Systems, they told me that their latest version, which I had, works with Lion. It absolutely works, they said. Now, on my MacBook Pro, I was not running Soundbite, so I downloaded it, installed it. They're correct. So there's something up with my iMac, and the combination of upgrading to Lion caused Soundbite to have a conflict with something, with another application, and it just causes it to crash. Now, I noticed a couple other things that I had some other apps crash, and maybe it's more the iMac, and that upgrade might be just unstable. So I have taken it offline. I have great backups from Time Machine, which, by the way, if you own a Mac, you absolutely must have an external drive. Activate Time Machine. It is free, and it is phenomenal, and it's included with your Mac. And any Mac user, most of you should know this. But if you don't, just set it and forget it, and it backs up everything, because I needed files tonight for the show, and I went to the external drive that was connected to my iMac. I just browsed for those files, got them right back, and got them for use with my MacBook Pro. So I am very, very happy with Time Machine, and had to use the recovery option tonight. So that was good. I wanted to pass that along. So I'm up and running, and I have the MacBook Pro in the mix now for dropping in the intro, the outro, and I still have some work. I want to read a couple emails that from listeners that responded and were disappointed in me in taking the plunge to the Apple upgrade, and I want to respond to that. This is from Jack, and he says, "Mike, I have listened to your show for years and have always enjoyed it. As a computer tech, I run my own shop, and between podcasts like yours and sites such as TechNibble, of which I have been a member since 07, I'm always learning new things. I started to officially support Macs this year. I got my first Mac in 2008 and was an instant fan. This after being a Mac hater for years and not even knowing why. This brings me to my point. I generally agree with everything you say on your show, but when you talked about upgrading to OS X Lion, I did a facepalm. To start with, as a tech, the first thing I do with a new OS is test it for compatibility with all my apps. I expected the same from you." Now, I'm going to pause right there. I took the plunge to save you the time. So the difference, Jack, between you and I is I have the podcast, and I want to be the guinea pig. And there was a couple things I needed to guinea pig, which is to make sure you can do multiple upgrades with only purchasing it one time from the App Store using your account. I wanted to take the plunge as quickly as possible so I could report back what I find. That's different than like my main production Windows system, which I don't do upgrades like that. Here we go. "It's pretty much a given that some programs or apps are just not going to carry over from one OS to another. Remember XP to Vista. Apple is known for dropping support for older apps. That's one reason for OS X is more stable in general than Windows. Windows keeps support for programs much longer and ends up just building broken code on top of more broken code. I was shocked to hear you say this was a good thing on Windows' part and that Apple should do it that way. I would like Apple to do the following. They don't have to redo code, but wouldn't it be nice to be able to right-click on an app and have it launch maybe virtually in another, in a previous Mac OS X version. So this way they have a fighting chance of maybe the Mac entering the business world and getting a little more market penetration, because that's something that Windows does. And why Windows is more successful is they do hang on, and yes, sometimes too long, to legacy apps. But remember, their money is all for corporate. And in order for the Apple, for Mac OS X to make a serious penetration in the corporate world, they're going to have to embrace some features like that. And I guess that's where I'm going, and maybe I'm wrong. It's just my opinion. As for the scrolling being reversed, I agree. It was stupid on Apple's part. But you have to understand, they are really trying to appeal to the iOS users, and that's how all other iDevices work. And that is true. I do understand that. I see that you found the checkbox in the sys preferences to turn it off. Not that big of an issue. Exactly. Some of the things that they do introduce with Lion, you can undo easily in the system preferences. So anyway, other than the one big issue above, great show and keep the good work. I just wanted to respond to that because I wanted you to know that my position is different than yours because of the show. So I wear many hats, and one is the home user trying to duplicate things that can help you as a home user. I am the corporate user, the network manager or IT director. I wear that hat and put myself in the position of a business where you would be implementing something. And then for me to experience everything, I got to take the plunge. And sometimes those worlds mix, where my main iMac had a critical app that I use and I did not check for any compatibility. I just went, did the upgrade, and I paid the price. So you're right. I shouldn't be as angry at Apple as I was last week because I didn't take the time to do the work. And this is something that's very important and a big lesson for everybody listening to the show. Do not automatically do an upgrade, especially on your main system, until you've checked things out. You gotta wait. You got to show some patience if it's your only production system. You got to make sure you have a reliable backup. The backup that you have tested a restore, you have to have that. Don't even think about it. And that's something I did. I would never have even thought of doing these upgrades if I didn't have my Time Machine backup on my system. Heed to those warnings. And it's just like doing a driver upgrade. I don't do a driver upgrade just for the sake of doing it. There's got to be an issue or something wrong that will cause me to say, hey, I'm going to flash my BIOS. Don't do things like that unless there's a reason, unless you're having a problem. And in the course of resolving that problem, it takes you down a path where you got to update a driver, update a program, flash your BIOS or the ROM or firmware. Be careful and you make sure everything's backed up. This is from Mike. Hi, Mike. You can make a boot disk or flash drive of OS X Lion, and this is how. Download Lion from the App Store, which will go to your dock and applications folder. Do not proceed to install, but quit the App Store and close the installer. Go to the applications folder and locate the install OS X Lion package. Right-click and the installer and choose show package contents. You will see an option to burn to disk. Do not choose this as the resulting disk will not be bootable. Go to /contents/shared/support folder and locate install sd.dmg disk image. From here, you can burn a DVD or restore to a hard drive or flash drive by opening the disk utility, drag the disk image to the sidebar. Hope this helps, since you can upgrade to more than one computer. I can't see why you would download such a big file for each upgrade. Also, the scroll problem you have, I think, is Apple's way of moving everything to the touchpad and smartphone platform. Yes, love the show. And I just had cataracts removed from both eyes so I could see your whole room now. Wow, I'm glad that went well. I hope it did. And I really liked your new sound. And this is Mike. Now, the new sound is not happening right now because the flash media encoder has actually caused me several problems, not only last week, but tonight. As a matter of fact, I even crashed tonight and I had to reboot. So the sound's back to normal. Now, this morning, I was working with a client who I mentioned the problem last night was my client was on vacation, had his Dell laptop, and the laptop was connected wirelessly to where they were at. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the week, it stopped working, the wireless. It just stopped. So what happened, he gets home, calls me because he cannot connect to his home network anymore. So there's clearly a problem with his laptop in connecting wirelessly. So I head out there this morning, and the first thing I want to try, since it's a Dell, is the function F2 key and hit that to make sure that it's activated. I did that. That didn't help. So now the one tip that I always try first is go to Device Manager. Right-click on the hardware. So I opened up the networking adapters. I right-click on the wireless adapter, and I uninstall it. Then I reboot and let it auto-detect and set up the driver again. Lo and behold, I was able to connect with no problem, and wireless was working. Now, what caused that corruption? Not sure. Maybe something was downloaded or the way something was running, but it did get corrupt, and by reloading the driver, it fixed the problem. And that's a great tip when you have problems with a network adapter that I have had great success with just uninstalling the adapter and then letting it redetect. So while I was there, since I solved that so quickly, as a matter of fact, BikeBoy80 in the chat is my client, and when I was there, he says, you know, Mike, we're having a problem with something. We have this HP all-in-one office jet, and it's supposed to be able to scan back to a computer. But every time we go to scan, it loses the name of the machine, the computer that we're trying to scan back to. What's going on here? It's like we always have to reactivate the scan to computer feature. And I said, boy, that's kind of weird. So I start Googling, and on the HP support forums, boy, we hit the mother load on this. Everybody's complaining about it. This is a major problem with a lot of the newer office jets. They have a bug which you want to be able to always scan back to your computer, but it loses that connection when you reboot your computer. Now, I have an HP office jet, but it's an older model, and I don't have that problem. So there must be an issue in the drivers. Wait until you hear this workaround. And I did this on most of the systems. I have a link to the forum article. The first thing you have to do is locate the program scan to PC activation app.exe. And that's located in program files HP, the name of the printer, /bin, and then you find that app. Create a shortcut to that app. Now, you got to do a little legwork here. After the shortcut, you need to put the device ID, and that ID is the port name from the printer. So you go to Devices and Printers, and you right-click on the printer properties, you find the device ID, and you write that down. After that, you have to put :NW, then you have to put the -SCFN, and in quotes, the exact name of the printer, the way it appears in the listing. Once you do that, you can just double click on that shortcut and it will automatically set up the scan to PC. But if you want that to happen automatically, you need to drop that into the startup folder, that shortcut, and it's a workaround for the problem. It doesn't fix it, but every time you reboot your computer, it will set up that connection. Now you get an annoying box that says it's connecting, and that's it. Until HP releases a new driver that fixes this bug, that's the only workaround. So since I found this, I wanted to make sure that I share it with you, and that link will be in the show notes. I'd like to take a moment and recognize GoToAssist Express. There are two things IT professionals and their clients have in common. They want the job done right, and they want it done fast. That's why I highly recommend GoToAssist Express by Citrix. To anyone in IT, it puts clients at ease with its simple and secure remote support and puts you in a position to do what you do best. Access, diagnose, and resolve. Try GoToAssist Express free for 30 days. Visit GoToAssist.com/podcast to see how you can deliver live tech support to anyone, anywhere with GoToAssist Express. We can't help but have a little more printing to talk about here. This is from John. Heard your last podcast and your brief description on problems surrounding printing on terminal servers. I will confirm that host-based printer drivers are unsupported in both Citrix and RDP, Microsoft terminal servers. The drivers that are supported or not by HP are listed here, and I have a link to the PDF. Most manufacturers have similar listings or can be inquired as to the proper design drivers for the remote printing. A couple of other resources are here as well. And again, all of these are going to be in the show notes because we can never have enough links for printer solutions. Host-based drivers support only one machine directly connected to a printer, either USB, parallel, or network. I think of them as a one-trick pony. Supported drivers will send the data stream to another print driver on another host, even on a different OS, on a specific channel of the protocol that established the connection, which is what terminal services is all about to start with, being able to connect to a server that can handle the application or data required, regardless of operating systems involved on either end. In our company, if you don't check with the IT department before buying the printer, you have to return it to the reseller and get the right one from the list above. Or you can explain your error to the proper manager upline from you. Thanks for allowing me to serve you. John, who's an MIS director, thank you very much for that. This is from David, and it's about the HP Universal Print Driver. And he says, can you shed any light on HP's Universal Print Driver? I've acquired some older working HP LaserJet printers, the LaserJet 1200, 1300, and 2300. By the way, the 1200 is unsupported, and you have to use the Universal Print Driver or you may not get it to work. And I have an interesting solution to this at the end that you're not going to like. These operated just fine under Windows XP and HP downloaded XP PostScript drivers. I will be attaching the printers to Windows 7 64-bit computers, and HP offers a universal print driver instead of a Windows 7 64-bit specific driver. I have not yet installed the driver, and all the documentation HP offers seems written for IT techs for a business network installation. Any advice you or your fellow techs can offer before I plunge in and install the drivers? Dave, and he's been a listener since show 5 from Miami. Dave, how much is your time worth? What is the value of your time? Because trying to get an older unsupported printer working on a new updated operating system, it's not going to be worth your time. You know what my recommendation is? Throw them away. It's so hard to do. I know. I've been there. It's been a good soldier for so long, and you want to make it work, and you just can't throw it away. Close your eyes. Have someone else take it and throw it away for you. I'm telling you, you will be happier. Take the old hardware, take the old printer, throw it away. Printers are cheap. You can buy a new printer. It'll have the 64-bit drivers, and you won't have, well, you'll have issues like I talked about earlier, but most of your problems will go away and you won't have to worry about it. You don't want to do what I did when Windows 7 came out. I am clinging on to my old N17 Xerox workhorse laser printer that sits in my office, and I couldn't part with it. I spent days trying to get that to work under Windows 7 64-bit, and I found this Panasonic PostScript 64-bit driver that allowed that printer to work. Why did I put myself through that? I spent days trying to get that to work. If you were to add up the time that I spent and you put just $10 an hour, the $500 that I spent maybe on that solution, I could have bought a couple printers. But no, I had to go through and prove that I can make sure it works. So my advice to you is, if it quickly does not work and it doesn't auto-detect and you don't have an easy download, throw it away. Buy a new printer. And that's the bottom line here. This is from Mike, and it's in response to show 366. Just listening to show 366 and had some comments. How do you verify integrity of files backed up to Carbonite? I have been periodically restoring from Carbonite into a working directory and then using an MD5 hash on the working copy and the originals. I would then compare the hashes. If they matched, then the content stored on Carbonite is exactly what is on my client's PC. My client, to save money, has recently gone from cable to DSL, making the connection a bit slower. Oh my gosh, that's a shame. I can't believe it's less money to go to DSL. Very interesting. Doing this integrity check has become a problem as the files are large and the restore may take many hours. I emailed Carbonite to ask if I could get an MD5 hash on the files they store for me online. They said they don't offer this feature. Do you have any suggestions or experience with verifying file integrity? I will say this. All I have done is occasionally performed a restore. When I perform the restore, then I check the file and see that it works and there's no problem. I don't know about the MD5 hash. So what I'm going to do is, since Carbonite's a sponsor, I'm going to see if I have any pull in getting an answer for what's a way to do the integrity check of the backup. That's a great question, and I will take that offline and find an answer and report back. This is from Tim, and he says, thank you for the great show. I wanted to find some good antivirus software for SBS 2011. I am looking at Trend Micro Worry-Free Business Security Advanced 7. It is for a small office of 10 users, so they don't want to spend a lot of money, but want the server and Exchange protected. Do you have any recommendations for server and Exchange antivirus, malware, and spam filter? Thank you for the suggestions you might have. And this is Tim from California. And I was just going to ask Winston, and he says that the Trend Micro is the bomb. He likes that. I have a lot of clients that I've inherited Symantec endpoint protection. As much as I hate it, it does work. And I've inherited that for many, many of my clients. And that's really Small Business Server 2003. And then I have a client with Small Business Server 2008. I do not have any production clients yet with 2011, but Winston Wolf in the chat, who is the definitive Small Business Server guru and he puts his stamp of approval on the Trend Micro solution. So go forth and go with Trend, because that's a tremendous recommendation and better than any recommendation I could have, because I would follow Winston's lead on this one. And this is from MS Small Biz in the chat, and he says, be careful with Google Plus and the old Buzz. Even though I turned off Buzz, it is somehow linked into the my Google Reader and has posted to Buzz everything I shared in Reader, which then shows up in Google Plus profiles. So thank you for that feedback. I still have yet to go full force into Google Plus, just because I have just had not had the time. And I'm not going to have the time this weekend, but keep adding me, as all of you are. I'm getting a tremendous volume of email for a lot of you who are adding me to your Google Plus. And I am definitely going to make some time to try to get it to get going with it. All right. I'm actually caught up on the email that I have for this week. Before I play some independent music, don't forget, if you know anybody who uses Amazon, buys from Amazon, family, friends, neighbors, anybody, go to MikeNation.net, my main website, which is MikeTechShow.com. Scroll down on the left-hand side. You're going to see a huge Amazon link. Click on that. Your price stays the same, but a contribution, a commission, comes back to the Mike Tech Show to help support the show. I so thank everybody who your tremendous support in using that link and continue to use that link. Thank you very, very much. I have a song that I played a long time ago on a podcast a few years ago. The group is called Pivot. The song is Erase It. Give a listen, and then I'll be back to wrap up.
Color of your frowning face. Nancy raises, not embrace what's wasting away in the basement. And it's all a part of it, but I can't go. Nancy raises, not embrace what's wasting away in the
That is Pivot and the song Erase It. Now, this, I normally don't do this, but we have to do this tonight. I have one final tech question for everyone. We need some help, and this is Winston and I. And he messaged me, I have a seriously tough tech question for you in the audience. I have a client, inherited domain, that every time we reboot the domain controller, we have to go and reset the logon as a service right to the service account every single time we reboot the domain controller. His domain controller is Windows 2003 server. I have the same problem with an account that we use for our online backup service. And this is Small Business Server 2008 domain controller. And I have the same problem every time that the domain controller is rebooted, that service doesn't start because every time we have to reset the logon as a service right. I don't understand that. So we need some help here. If you are involved with servers and domain controllers and you understand this question, Winston and I could use some help with this problem. So greatly appreciate it. And remember, you can email me, miketechshow@gmail.com. And we'll get this into a discussion, and I'll involve Winston in that so we can solve the problem for us. So clearly this is a common problem that we're both experiencing. And Winston and I have never talked about it. When he messaged me this, I was like, wow, I'm having this same problem. And we shouldn't have to keep resetting that on the domain controllers. Clearly there's a problem and two very different operating systems. So we would like your help and suggestions for that, and maybe whatever you send will help us lead into a resolution. That is it for tonight's show. I want to thank you for downloading and subscribing. Spread the word. Let everybody know who's not listening to the Mike Tech Show. Send them to my website. Show them how to subscribe. And we have lots of fun here on Thursday nights. And I'll be back next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.